Good morning to you all. I've known Detema now for quite a few years, especially through the privilege of preaching God's word. I've seen her, I've encouraged her, and now she's looking after the old fella, as they beginning to call me. I took my last full service at my own church in Hove last year. It was 50 years. Last September, after Norfolk Road closed, that I went to Hove Church. When I heard that they were struggling to find preachers and Detema had taken extra services because of Andy's sabbatical, I said, well, if I can help, I'm quite happy to do a sermon virtually from memory. And she said, well, I'm preaching at DG on the first Sunday in July, and again, I believe, later this month. And I said, well, that would fit in lovely with me because we're studying John's Gospel. Many people struggle with John's Gospel, find it difficult. Some have said it shouldn't even be in Scripture. Others have said it's nothing like the Gospels. When you compare it with what we call the other three, the Synoptic Gospels, John's Gospel admits the birth, the baptism, the temptations, the Last Supper, Gethsemane, the Ascension, healing of possessed people. There's no parables. What's it all about? Well, there is a clue, and it's in the Gospel itself. In chapter 14, Jesus was speaking with his disciples, and he told them that another would come. The Comforter. All this I have spoken to you, he said, while I was still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. And then he went on to give that lovely blessing, my peace I live with you. And so we come. This gospel was written for all people, especially the Greeks. And when he uses this, in the beginning was the word, the Greeks would have listened. What's this about? They wanted to know. Remember that story of Paul going there and seeing the statues up? And he saw one to an unknown God, in case they had forgotten anyone. And Paul said, I've come to tell you about your unknown God and preach Jesus Christ. And so we come to this wonderful gospel. To me, it's the most important book in Scripture. In the beginning was the Word. It was there at creation. In the Old Testament, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So there's no conflict there. But here we're told that Jesus was present. He was the Word. And then we're going on, said there was a man come, his name was John. John came to witness and to testify. The two most important words in this gospel, witness and testify. Many years ago, and I know it's many years ago because I was cycling. I hadn't passed a driving test. And this would have been somewhere in the late 60s. I was cycling home from work up Wilbury Road in Hove, approaching Davigdore Road, and it's a huge wide road. And I'd got my head down, it's slightly inclined as you went up there. And then I suddenly heard a violent crash, bang. And I looked up, I saw a car in midair come down on its roof, another car badly damaged, and it was some 50 yards away. Right beside me was a telephone box, and I immediately phoned 999. This was within a minute of this crash. The response was, "What service do you require?" I told them where it was, and all three would be required, because no doubt there would have been a spillage of fuel on the road. Recovery vehicles would be needed, the police present. About 4 days later, I was at home in the evening after work, and there was a knock at the door, and there was a police constable there. And he said, "I'm looking for Mr. Saunders." And I said, "You found him." He said, "Ah, my star witness." And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, the crash the other day." I said, "But I didn't see anything. I heard the impact, but I didn't see it." He said, "But the car must have passed you coming up the road." I said, "I've no idea." And he was very disappointed. And he said, "I thought you were my star witness," he said. I said, "Well, I'm sorry. I didn't witness anything. I saw the result of the impact. But I can't testify in any shape or form which way the vehicles were even travelling." John in his gospel tells us how important it is. You see, when you come to the other three gospels, the word witness doesn't appear in Matthew's gospel. It appears three times in Mark and once in Luke. 14 times in John. The word testify appears once in Matthew's gospel, not at all in Mark, and once in Luke. In John's gospel, it appears 33 times. That's how important it is. What do we testify to? Belief in Jesus Christ. That's what John came to witness and testify to, that all might believe. We're called to believe. How many times does John use the word believe? 98 times through his gospel. When we look at the scriptures in John's gospel, we find that even the Father, we're told, witnesses to Jesus. When John baptized him, he was told he would see the sign from heaven. He would see the dove descending upon him, and he would know that this was the one. And he witnessed and testified through his ministry. In the three synoptic gospels, it tells us that Jesus' ministry started when John was in prison. You know the story of Herod and that, and he had imprisoned him. Not according to John's gospel. John sent disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the one?" And Jesus' response was, "Look at the evidence. The blind see, the lame walk." And he finished saying an amazing thing, "Good news is preached to the poor." When did the poor ever have good news? And so he testified. When Jesus was confronted with these things, he said, "If I testify about myself, my testimony isn't valid. But you believe in Moses, you believe in God. God sent me. Could I do all these things, all this evidence of healing?" When we go through, we find that this is constant through, this golden thread of witness and testifying, right through until the very last chapter in John's Gospel. And he said, "There are many more things I could tell you, but my testimony is true." One of the most wonderful examples in John's Gospel is in chapter 4, the Samaritan woman. I'm sure you remember the story of how the disciples had left Jesus by the well, Jacob's well as it was called, and gone to search for food. When a woman comes, a Samaritan woman, and Jews and Samaritans didn't get on very well. Even though Jesus told that wonderful story in the Synoptic Gospels about the Good Samaritan. She came and they had this discourse. And then Jesus said to her, "Well, go and fetch your husband." And she said, "Well, I haven't got a husband." And he said, "No, you've been with six men already. And the one you're living with now isn't your husband." And this is why this woman had come out in the heat of the day, out of the village to Jacob's well to draw water, so that she didn't have to confront the gossips. And she met Jesus. Then she eventually goes back. But just before that, they'd had this discourse, and she said, when they were talking about where they would worship, she said, when the Messiah comes, and Jesus said, I am he. To a Samaritan woman. The only time recorded in Scripture when Jesus claimed, apart from when it was at his trial. And when she went back to the village, as the disciples came back, and was quite surprised to see this Samaritan woman leaving him. And they went to the village, and we're told that many of the people in the village believed because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. And what she did wasn't to be proud of. And they persuade Jesus to stay there, we're told, another couple of days. And Jesus stayed. And then they conclude in John's Gospel, many more believed, not because of the woman's testimony, but because of the meeting with Jesus themselves. And so we're called. What do we witness? Well, you don't have to be a preacher to testify. That I have learnt over the years. You testify by the way you live, the way you react to different things that happen in your life, and they'll all be different for each one of us. We speak to the one who appears to be lonely. As Detumia was talking earlier about befriending people, that Jesus is there, our friend. He sustains us. We're not always aware of it or conscious of it, but he is there because that was his promise. Even when we go astray, he is still there trying to shepherd us back into his way. And we're called to witness to all these events in our life, to say that friendly word, and sometimes not to say anything, just to be there. Many years ago, a dear friend at Hove, who we knew very well, his name was Arthur Fletcher, he'd been a Salvationist. But he came into the Methodist Church at Hove. He'd been a steward and a very tall, upright man, over 6 foot, and a very tall wife as well. And then his wife passed away. She was well in her 80s. When my wife saw him, she put her arms out to his elbows. She pulled him down and she kissed him on the cheek. She didn't say a word. Some 3 or 4 weeks later, Arthur Fletcher said to her, Joyce, he said, you know, when Minnie died, his wife, he said, I had loads of cards, loads of people talk. He said, what you did was more amazing than any of those cards with their dear words and their blessing and their greetings. No words spoken, a kiss on the cheek, but it meant the world to Arthur Fletcher. Just examples, there's loads of examples of this. I could tell you of many, but we befriend people, we encourage them, because we testify by what we do and who we are. And it's a responsible part of our Christian being. We can't do it under our own strength. We need the power of the Spirit, and Jesus said that that power is ever with you. Learn to trust. Learn to use. Come before the Spirit and let the Spirit help you in your daily living, that you too may witness and testify to the glorious grace and truth and love of Jesus Christ. May God bless you. May He sustain you. And may you ever know that that Spirit can be active in your life as you journey. We're going to sing.